As we walk this journey called life, we seek to find those things that bring joy to our existence. We want to embrace love, desire, and passion through healthy human connections. We want and need to discover meaning to the steps we take daily, the challenges of breaking barriers stir up our spirit as we prove our individual importance. The value of life is precious as we assist others to discover their way. The legacy of our being is found in the donations we make in those outside of ourselves. Success in this journey takes focus and commitment to winning. The victory is in not allowing fractured beliefs of the masses to impact the rules we have made work for ourselves. This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection. We come to you 7 days a week, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m., Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and Sunday at 8:30 Eastern Time. We have a platform for your voice to be heard loud and clear and unfiltered. It is time that we speak for ourselves, so that others completely understand the direction we want our country to go in. No longer can we sit on the sidelines and allow others to select our direction. It is time for people of color to use the internet to make sure their voices are heard beyond a couple of streets. Our thoughts and needs and desires need to be heard around the world. And Thoughts, Love, and Reflection is that platform that you can be assured that your thoughts and feelings will be respected and heard without challenge. It is time for us to come together and make sure that we're not left behind. This is your host, James T. Deshaies, looking forward to have you call in to the show at 657-383-0309. 7 days a week, we want to be heard loud and clear.
USI never had it so good. 101.1 radio, the best R&B and hip-hop music. The Quiet Storm every Friday and Saturday. Talk radio with the best host in the business. Sports talk radio every weekend night with Princess Cooper. Never had it so good radio now on 101.1. And it's 24-7, the world's best radio station.
With that message, never better get checked. There ain't no difference second when the king goes sick. Put it down and a check, fuck around and get sick.
This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. As always, you know I'm proud and happy to be here with you, given the opportunity to talk over the issues that impact our lives now and in the future. We have to stay on top of things and be engaged and know what's going on in our country and be prepared to focus and discuss those things that will impact our lives. I want to just discuss some major issues and things that are happening in our country. We're going to take a short break for right now so that we can give an opportunity for everyone to get on the line, and then we'll continue our conversation.
That we love to see. Every time we hear the music and feel this love together, we got the kind that lasts forever.
James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. You know, we're in a very unique time in our history, one in which some very important decisions have to be made. And I'm not very sure if we are being governed by the right person to make those decisions. We find ourselves at a time where we have a person in office who we're very unsure of his abilities to master the threats that are facing us. You know, in our history, we've had some people in place that have had moments that they could have made the wrong decisions and chaos could have been created in our society. But we've always seemed to have people who had a sense of purpose, a sense of what was the right thing to do and the right time to do it. And I think that we have lost our way, but the history right now that's in place, or the moments that are in place right now, we need someone with a steady hand. And I'm not sure Donald Trump is that person. I want to give you some interesting information related to North Korea. North Korea right now have about 800,000 active people in their military. They have over 1 million individuals between the age of 21 and 29 who are prepared and ready to fight. You know, and we have to ask ourselves, are we truly ready to be engaged in a war with the likes of North Korea that may possibly bring China into a war? Are we prepared to be brought into a conflict of that magnitude? Especially with someone we are unsure of at the helm of our nation's command, as our nation's commander in chief. We took a very bad time place somebody who may not be competent enough to make the decisions that we have to make in the very near future. And we have to understand something. You know, when we're around beating our chest as a nuclear power, so it may be understandable that we don't want a whole lot of other people to acquire nuclear weapons. But are we truly ready and prepared to get in war over another country developing nuclear weapons? They want to protect themselves as much as America wants to protect itself. And we have to ask ourselves, if situation was reversed, would we want to have the protection or the deterrent to have nuclear weapons when we were looking down at the barrel of nuclear weapons? There has to be a way to avoid this battle. This is not ISIS. This is not some group of terrorists that we can go don't have a way of striking back. These people are more than capable of conflicting a great deal of harm and causing a lot of casualties if we don't handle this situation properly. And what makes this situation even more dangerous than normal is that we have someone at the helm who is a truly inexperienced, someone who does not know how to control his temperament or his decision-making. And we have to ask ourselves, if we are prepared to allow the likes of Donald Trump to make the decision with our boys' lives related to the kind of damage that can be done by going to war with the likes of North Korea? We truly have to ask ourselves if we want this to be as damaging as it could possibly be with the likes of going to war with a country that has these kind of abilities. You know, we have not faced anyone during these modern day times that could possibly kill as many people or harm as many people as North Korea is able to do. And how long we would be fighting this war and giving our children who are not even born yet, or those who are just being born, a destiny in a war with North Korea. Dee, what are your thoughts about what seems to be an escalating situation between the United States and North Korea?
Well, good evening, everybody, and happy Good Friday. Wanted to be sure and say that. James, last week you posed the question numerous times, and I think we avoided the answer that you was looking for. And the question was, what is it that we should do about the leader in North Korea? And to round that question. And I think one of the reasons we dance around that question and the answer to that question is because of modern times that we live in. Now, the quick answer to your question, are we prepared and ready? Of course, we are not. Because of the bodies, capable bodies that are willing to fight to the death on that side of the world. Vietnam was a good model of how they think. They will fight to the last breath. And the suicide bombers in World War II, that of the Japanese, was another example of what you can expect. Also, if they have 800 million people ready to fight, their closest neighbor, China, they have over 1 billion people in their military, and 1 billion more probably civilians that will fight to the death. When you talk about the likes of Donald Trump, and it was evident in the campaign and all, that he is not the person that you want to be your diplomatic spokesman in trying to deter the idea of a war with anybody. Again, Steve Bannon is gone, and he and the Breitbart and the people. Look, Steve Bannon was the talisman, was the evil talisman on his shoulder. And he wrote a lot of the speeches that was given during the campaign. And the people that like Breitbart and their ideology, like the alt-right movement, Donald Trump actually used them to get where he wanted to go. Now he don't need them. But during the campaign, he slapped everybody around, talked about China, what you ain't going to do, what you ain't going to make us do, this and the other. And that was the wrong position to take. All right, so now back to the quick answer to your question, what can we do and what should we do? What we could do, which we can't do anymore because the media is all in everybody's business. Ever since the Vietnam War, the media have been on the ground in all conflict. And so when you got the media on the ground and everything that's happening during war, and war is ugly, and it comes back to your living room and the mothers of these soldiers see how ugly war is, your hands are tied. So what we should do, what we can't do anymore, is to take measures under the dark of night and not tell nobody what you're going to do. That's the answer. If there's anybody crazier than Donald Trump, is the little guy over in North Korea. And so that's the short answer, and I almost have to wait and see.
You know, D, the problem is that you can see the mounting ability of escalation in these situations. You know, when you're doing this tit for tat and you keep drawing these lines, at some point, somebody's going to have to do something based on the statements they make. And if China is not willing to get Korea to back down, then Donald Trump is not going to want to be shamed before his constituents either. And two, you know, we've never had, to my knowledge, you know, any actual bombing or missiles fired into North Korea. I know that we are in charge of the army or the line that borders North Korea from South Korea, and we've been staring at them for years. And there have been little small issues, but we had people at the helm who were able to control their emotions. And I'm just fearful that Donald Trump is not that kind of man. And you have to measure the number of deaths that you're willing to take as a result of punching somebody in the nose. You know, we look at the bombing in Sierra when less than 100 people were killed, and then we looked at our response when less than 20 people were killed. But that is not going to be the case if we get into some kind of armed conflict with Korea. We'll be looking at thousands. This is not something that should be taken lightly, and there shouldn't be a war of words to escalate the possibilities, because there are going to be a lot of graves dug if there is any kind of armed conflict between us and North Korea. And it will not be settled in a few days or a few months. It'll take years to settle this thing if we get involved in it. So we need to ask ourselves, where are we going to be? And we need to be writing and talking to people, letting them know, those our congressmen and our senators, you know, they need to know if we're prepared to deal with the casualty loss that will happen if we get into an armed conflict with the likes of North Korea. Audrey, we're talking this evening about, are we ready and prepared for a decision by our president to get involved in an armed conflict with North Korea and prepare for the kind of losses that will take place as a result of that decision? Or is he the right man to even make that kind of decision based on his experiences? Audrey?
A fantastic Good Friday to everyone. And I think the people of America voiced their opinion in him being selected for the role of president, which includes determining when, if, and how we go to war, and what position we take as it relates to armed forces and handling a situation like this. But I think where you're going, and you're absolutely right, when we compare war and the potential of war with any country now in today's environment, it's not like the days of old war with comeback and that type of thing. You're right that the casualty loss will be multiplied tremendously, because we're talking about technology and weapons that's available to do such massive destruction. We have to take action, and those actions are to let our voice be heard with our representatives and congressmen that's representing our districts, such that we can at least make sure that our opinion and our views and our concerns are heard.
You know, and this and Donald Trump does not seem to be the kind of person who's willing willing to allow on diplomats to kind of keep a lid on what is going on. And we have to decide whether or not countries have the right to develop weapons to protect themselves, despite our feeling regarding whether or not it's going to make the whole world safe. You know, North Korea is a country that has the right to use its knowledge any way it can. And are we going to allow them to provoke us into a war where hundreds of thousands of people can be killed? Dee? As it stands
right now,
all those nuclear tests that they have done have not hurt anyone. So should we really get into a battle over their desire to have a nuclear weapon?
Yes, James, and the painting don't look very attractive. And I know that's not the right word to use, but you know, I think that Donald Trump, the administration of Donald Trump, seems to be in a pivot in some kind of way since they got rid of the National Security Advisor, and that being Steve Bannon. But I think we're going to probably see a pivot in his. And it's way of thinking, and that's what we got to hope for. And but right now I'm driving, and you know, I'm at one of my blackout spots, so I'm gonna have to call you back.
All right.
You know, I'm just concerned that, you know, when we were in the conflict between Russia and America and the Cuban crises, and we were staring down Russia and demanding that they take out their missiles from Cuba, we had a person in charge who we felt could handle the conflict and stare down the Cubans. And he did that in a way, allowed a lot of lives to be saved. He put up a blockade. He refused to let Russian ships into Cuba to finish the work, and he demanded that those missiles be taken out. And he stared them down, and then the conflict was diffused. But RJ, do we believe that our present commander-in-chief, who just dropped one of the largest bomb that was not nuclear in Afghanistan, does he have the ability to stare somebody down without escalating into war?
Well, I tell you, I think if it was me that someone put their largest, most effective weapon, other than taking it to the extreme of nuclear, and we hadn't even had a chance to discuss and really talk about, truly, I mean, just coming together and just, you may have differences and you may, but does that warrant coming at me at such an aggressive level? I would be concerned and be upset and look for ways to get people on my side to hurt you. You know, I'm not saying that's what would happen, but I mean, I think that's just a natural reaction. Unfortunately, my thought was, we often talk on your show about the level of response that police officers take when they were in the process of potentially arresting someone. On several occasions, I remember some discussion about the fact that, you know, should a police officer or law enforcement officer go from 0 to 100 without, you know, taking some steps in between. And so it almost seems as if that similar response happened. I mean, it just seemed like one day we was going fine, and the next day I see that, man, we didn't, the largest bomb, and I mean, they have the initials of it, I think. I can't think of the initials, the acronym, but anyway, it is, like you said, it's the largest bomb available prior to nuclear. And, you know, once we start talking nuclear, the devastation and lives lost is very intense. And I heard one of the reporters ask him if indeed he felt that, you know, this was going to get the attention of the Koreans. And, you know, his response was, I don't know if it will or not. It's just like almost similar to how he ran the election. It's all about his thought process and all. But as a president, you know, you have to be concerned about others, and you have to strategically think how you, you know, want to proceed. And like I think it was D said before he had to drop off, that, you know, it doesn't look very appealing.
Well, we're at our first 30 minutes, and we're going to take a break, and we're going to come back and continue our conversation. But you're right. It seems as though a message is being sent, and he wants that message to go beyond Afghanistan, Korea, related to what he's willing to do.
Together.
This is James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. You know, I have a limited history, knowledge of history related to all of the wars that have taken place, but I do know that we lost a lot of life during the Civil War here in America. And in a lot of times, that war, there were a lot of deaths beyond even the deaths in a lot of different wars where we had modern capabilities. But I do know that the devastating bombs that were dropped on China scared us so badly that we've never done that again. And now we find ourselves in a place where this could be even a greater war than that, depending on who is drawn into the conflict. North Korea is right on the border of China, and we're not really sure of what degree the Chinese are willing to help to avoid there being a war. We are not really sure of how Russia will respond to a conflict of any serious magnitude. And we have to ask ourselves, do we want to be drawn again into a conflict with a country who is just flexing its muscles, who has launched a few missiles that has harmlessly fallen into the oceans and has not caused the death of anybody? Are we really ready to escalate their desire to be looked at in a serious manner? Do we need to take into consideration the situation that we've caused these people to be in based on the sanctions that we put in place? Dee, what is your thoughts about reconsidering some of the actions that we've done and some of the ways that we deal with the North Koreans? And should we be trying to be the police of the world, telling people what they can and cannot create?
I appreciate that question. And I think the best way I can answer that question is to give you what I think about how the United States need to consider what they've done to people, period, in general. Now, to me, it's strikingly funny in a way where they can treat everybody the way they want to treat you, but when they need you, then they need you. And it may sound like I'm playing the devil's advocate, if I can use that word, but, you know, I'm kind of on how America treats itself, other American citizens. Now, if you want to look at the big picture, let's look at that picture. How they treat us as a whole, and then when it comes down to we need you, who do you call? And so, like, you know, going into the Trump administration, you know, talk about the Muslims, you know, you're going to ban the Mexicans out of your country. But now, who do you need? You need buddies, you need pals, because you can't take on these folks by yourself. And when it comes down to a world conflict, let's look at World War II. During World War II, we're at war with Germany. And while we busy fighting the Germans, who comes in our back door to try to kick us in the butt? Because we are already occupied on another front. is the Japanese. So you got to wonder what role, like you asked, what role is Russia going to play? What role is Iran going to play? What role is Afghanistan going to play? Everybody that's already waiting in pocket, they got beef with us. What role are they going to play? So it's not just going to be us against them. It's going to be us against a lot. So my thing has always been, why you got a chance? And the same thing with us as a people. Why we got a chance, we need to be buddying up with folks. Like, we need to pay a lot more attention to our friend, the Mexican guy, or anybody else that, you know, that's looking to be friends with us. And so that's my take. Now, I'm going to close with this. We may be needing a cleansing, as harsh as that may sound. God's plan might be a cleansing and to start anew. So if that's the case, then that's the case. Thank you, James.
There seems to be a lot of drawing lines in the sand and making demands on countries as though we are the big dog in charge, and that these countries can't make decisions related to how their people are going to be treated and what their place in the world is going to be. You cannot expect a positive outcome when you're running shotgun over people and you're living a life that is so much far removed from these other people. Everybody in the world knows that America overindulges in everything that it does, and that life is so much better for its people than in other places, and then you're going to mandate that other people stay beneath you. That doesn't seem like it's going over very well, Andre. It doesn't seem as though we're being compassionate. And we're talking about America first when we're dealing with these worldly issues.
Well, you're right. Compassion doesn't mean that you tell me what to do. You know, one of the things that I was thinking about as you and Dee were talking, and you're both exactly right. You know, we have to really look at ourselves, the United States, how we've treated people, not only during times like these, but American citizens. And you're right, you know, it's not very compassionate, it's not very loving if you dog a person out and talk about them and all that, but then time you need them, oh, no, they're not really problematic, you know. You start changing your tune because it benefits you or what your needs are. It's not very compassionate and loving if you're going to be, you know, your way or the highway. Then that means you're not considering me and my thoughts and my values. And right now that's how some people can perceive the United States.
You know, you look at the fact that we have all these destructive weapons and we're supposed to be the number one power related to armed forces, and you got everybody looking at you and saying, well, why should you don't be the only one that has this? If we got intelligent people who can figure out, and you have to remember, America's always been the one with, you know, chasing after the most destructive weapons, but yet you don't want anybody else to have them. And so why is it your place? One minute you're talking about what's best for the world, but yet you don't want to give everyone the right platform to have their say. You want to align yourself with Israel and say nobody better touch Israel, and is and you allow Israel to go and take land from the Palestinians and treat them all kind of way and say the Palestinians can't have their own country. You know, who are we to tell people that they can't create their own country? You taking Jerusalem from the Palestinians. Our president is talking about building, you know, a new, gosh, I don't know why, yeah, moving our we're supposed to be moving a new building into Jerusalem, you know, in terms of our diplomat, and yet we know that there's an argument of who about who Jerusalem belongs to. You know, so we seem to be aligning ourselves with people and walking over and stepping on lesser individuals in terms of their strength to fight back. And it just seems to be that we're making a lot of people unhappy with who we are as we try to be the governing body of the world. We say we're going to put ourselves first does not make us sympathetic to the rest of the world. And we need to ask ourselves, you know, what is it, who do we want to emulate when you're in this position? When you're in a position of might, should you make a habit of walking on people and not listening to what their issues might be? There is a major concern with the way we seem to be carrying ourselves that doesn't lend itself to us being a good partner in the world. When we're telling people we are willing to destroy you and kill you if you don't behave or react in the manner that we tell you is appropriate. We're going to take another break and we'll be right back.
My heart is filled with joy that can't be described. Your presence has driven my passion to a place I am unable to return. Now my life is filled with the happiness of our days to come. I now seek to recreate the love you have given me so that you will know the unlimited source of joy you have provided in my spirit. My days and nights will be spent trying to insert the same love into your heart. No longer will my days be used to capture that which I already have in you. My life now is focused on showing my gratitude to those who helped to create your wonderful spirit for me. I am the true recipient of the magic within you. The harmony that exists in us will be an example for others to emulate. The enchantment that is in us will be displayed in every step we take. Our journey will be one of pure and perfect love. This is James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. My show is on from Sunday to Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 o'clock West Coast Time, on Saturdays at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and 5 o'clock West Coast Time. It is time for your voice to be heard loud and clear. So please call in at 657-383-0309. It is time to be part of a movement that is using the technology we have to let our voices be heard loud and clear and unfiltered. On my show, your voice will be heard, respected, and appreciated. It is time for us now to take control. Please visit my website, jamestdeshay.com. That is jamestdeshay.com. I look forward to you calling into my show at 657-383-0309 at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, Sunday through Friday, and 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Saturdays. Take care.
I'm slightly bored. I've been watching you.
I've been doing the same thing.
I've had my eyes on you.
I've been checking you out all night long.
You look so nice. You look so sweet.
Oh, thanks. That was sweet.
You look like you ought to be with me. Would it be all right with you if we left here and we went somewhere else, babe? Somewhere where it's nice and quiet. Nice and quiet.
Yeah, that sounds a little better than this thing.
Or we could sit down by a cozy fire. We could sip a little wine.
Oh.
Work things out.
Well, I
work things out.
James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you 7 days a week, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, Saturday and Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, where we talk about the things that impact your life now and in the future. It's important that we stay on top of things and stay a part of the conversation that is going to determine our future. You know, when we talk about we're going to, it's America first, and we're going to make America great again. That sends a message throughout the world that we're going to do the things that are in our best interest, regardless of how it may impact others. And when you take that kind of selfish viewpoint, you can look at a lot of people say, well, why shouldn't we do what's in our best interest? And we need to have a more global thought process related to the world, because almost anything that happens in one place in our world impacts the effect in another. And so I don't think we have the pleasure anymore of having a selfish attitude about what's going on in the world. Dee, what are your thoughts about this kind of selfish rhetoric that our president seems to so easily put out there in the space?
Well, James, I've been thinking about this for years. And first of all, let me go ahead and get the Trump administration out of the way in this segment of my conversation. I think that what we can do, where we are with the administration, is to hope that everything he said going into the presidency, that being the campaign and all, was just a front. Let's hope it was just a front, and if it was like Ted Cruz said, he is a master con artist. Let's hope that is the case, and where now, things are settling down a little bit to where he can listen to people. All right, got that out the way. Now, what I've been thinking about for years is, you know, our place in the world, that being the United States of America. As a nation, we kind of got off on the wrong foot. Like Farrakhan has always said, they've always had the meaning of being imperialistic and want to colonize everything. All right. Well, I think that what's going to happen that we're going to be put to the test here as a nation, because you know our young country is not but 250 years old. Plus a few more years. The Ying Dynasty which is China, and anything else that spins off of that is 5,000 years plus old. And so, you know, our young country modeled itself after the Roman Empire. And it was fortunate enough to last about 500, 600 years. I don't think we're going to last that long in modern time. So that is my viewpoint on all of that. You know, I heard a prophecy once when somebody was giving their interpretation of the prophecy. And it spoke about the eagle and the bear and the dragon. And at the end of this prophecy, the dragon at the end came out the winner. And so if that's what we have on the table here, it may be something to pay attention to that one prophecy. Thank you, James.
Andre, listening to what Dee is saying, there seems to be value in creating an alliance that allows everyone to have value to get some of the things that they need and desire to continue. I realize that we have terrorists who go too far, but certainly we need to do a better job in the Middle East and making alliances with people and respecting their culture and helping them to get some of the things that they want, just like the Palestinians.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it was Dionne Warwick that sung the song, "What the World Needs Now is Love, Sweet Love." Someone sung that, and Dee can probably correct me. He's into music. But, yes, and the alliance is, excuse me, is the key. And, you know, we always talk about collaboration and partnership and teamwork. Well, on the country level, you know, at that level, when you're talking about different countries, that's the reason why we have NATO, and they are alliances. And you're exactly right. So when you are aligned, then you do, to your point, you look at what is in this person's favor and what is this person can benefit. And if we're really looking out for each other, you know, the God that we serve is big enough that everyone can work in harmony if we only put forth the effort. And we can all achieve what it is that we need to achieve and accomplish without, you know, putting others down or, you know, trying to destroy others. But if we truly, truly start to build off each other's strengths, and you'll be surprised how that'll help, you know, we help each other through our gifts and our talents. It's just like, for instance, if you take a youth football team, you know, especially the younger ones when they first started. You know, they are so excited, but they don't know the rules, but they watch, but they really don't know how to play and that kind of stuff like that. Well, you bring them to practice, and little by little, you'll see which person, you know, kind of do well at this position and another person will do well at that position. But I tell you, you put them at each of their strength positions, man, that's when you have a true team. And you're exactly right. We have to look for alliances in all circumstances.
Yeah, and it seems to me that, you know, when we spent this year, last year, with Donald Trump preaching all this rhetoric about putting America first and he was going to change all these agreements we had with all these different people and he was going to do what was right for the American people. See, Dee, the problem with me with that is this. We are one of the richest countries in the world. Our standard of living is higher than the majority of the countries in the world, and we want it even better. And so we're saying to people, hey, we know our grocery stores are packed with food. We know we eat three meals a day. We know the majority of our families got two cars. They got cable TV, They got all the modern appliances, and we want even more. And we don't care about the way you living, but we going to live even better. And it's going to be off the back of the rest of you guys. D, how is that going to play over?
Well, James, you know, Miss Audrey said it very well, okay? And everything she said, you got to know that that would have been Hillary Clinton's way of doing things. You got to know that. But the supposed American people did not want that. See, they don't want that. The certain people, and they are not even the majority as far as I'm concerned. The certain few, which are the one percenters, they do not want that. And you got to know that that's the kind of country that she would have run. So, like I said in the first half hour, we may be in store for a cleansing. And that's, you know, so, you know, and saying that, that's when we come back to reality that we don't run nothing, that God's will is always in place. And so in trusting that, we just have to have our legacy in order, if you will, and just kind of sit back and hopefully that who's ever at the helm is ready to change now, because all week long he's been looking like he's ready to change, and he's ready to listen. And the little slap on the wrist with the Tomahawk missiles, we're not really sure how that's going to play. But like you say, you know, he's our president now. And the one percenters, that's your man. And we only gonna hope and pray that you know what you're doing.
You know, you're right. You know, white America selected him and put him in place, and they had this selfish viewpoint of what our attitude ought to be with the rest of the world, and that we need to gain our place back in terms of having all these agreements be in our best interest, but not knowing that there are people out there who look at us at our greed or at our way of living, and they're just not happy with it, you know. And so we need to somehow be prepared and ready to compensate other countries in a way that shows that we understand and take them into consideration. You know, there was a time when we were in a depression and people were filling the streets, unable to eat. And we knew what being hungry truly was. But this day and time, we don't know that. And we don't seem to have any empathy for other countries that are trying to find their way, and appreciate that we have to not be so heavy-handed, but be living our lives and our world in a way that shows some type of compassion. Andre?
Yes, it's interesting times, and you're right. We just have to just continue to be mindful and watchful, and then take the actions that we can take. You know, we have people that thought that, you know, they wanted a change, and no matter by any means necessary, they wanted, you know, a significant change when it came between Democratic and Republicans. And so with that, whether they thought it through all the way or not, or whether they were just being reactive of, you know, try to destroy you know, President Obama's legacy or not, we all are in the situation of having to live with what we're living with, because I tell you what, when you're talking about nuclear weapons, that's significant. And weapons, when they're fired, they don't have a description as it relates to color, gender, or anything like that. It's whatever that target is, and anything in the midst of it, you know, the surrounding areas will be destroyed. So, you know, years and years ago, I mean, when we were back in elementary school, I remember I went to a Catholic school, and the nuns was telling us that it may come a time when you have to have bunkers, and, you know, where you have to, you know, protect yourself from the environment. And, of course, we heard it. And then as we grew, it was no need for it or whatever the case may be. And while some people, I'm sure, have areas where they've make sure that it's so thick with cement and, you know, nothing can come through the radiations and that kind of stuff. But, you know, it's interesting what I always thought, even when I was, you know, younger in elementary school when it was presented to me. I'm saying, well, if everyone's not able to make these storage areas or whatever you want to get, barricades, and when you come back up out of, you know, out of your surroundings that you've been barricaded in, and the world around you is destroyed as you knew it, man, what kind of life would that be, and what would be available and left to eat? You know, one of your shows, we talked about how movies really take some of the things that's really happened and put it on the screen for us. And there's a lot of movies that has been out that, you know, where people just survive, and after they survive, the world is completely different. So that's a little bit off from what we were talking about originally, but the bottom line of it is that, you know, we have our elected officials, and the scripture tells us that we have to, you know, respect and honor authority accordingly. But scripture also let us know that we're wise enough to make sure that we know that we have to take action, because actions speak louder than words, and make sure that we are involved. And that's the key.
You know, people need to understand, you know, for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. And we cannot allow ourselves to get so caught up and what it is that we want, that we have a blind eye to what the world needs overall. And continuously, we're in this battle where everybody in America wants to have a better life. They're not appreciative of the life that they're living. And they somehow are insensitive to the world, what's going on in the world outside of America. And so, to me, we need to, all these years that we have been fighting and battling in the Middle East, and Israel has been at confrontation with other people, that we just have not found some neutral ground so as to give their peace in the world. We're going to take another short break, and then we're going to come back and have our final word.
Of your hand makes my pulse react. That it's only the thrill of boy meeting girl while possess a track. It's physical, only logical. You must try to ignore that it means more than. headed someplace. I've got cause to be. There's a name for it. There's a phrase that fits. But whatever the reason, you do it for me. Oh, what love got to do? Got to do with it.
How people can change attitudes when it's for their benefit. So let us always just be mindful of the intention of a person whenever we come into conversation with them, even in our day-to-day lives and activities. And let us try to reach a place where we are not trying to manipulate a situation, but instead we're working towards that true alliance, what we talked about earlier today.
Well, let me ask you this, Andre. When we give an account of how we display ourselves, and someone on the outside that's outside our world looks at America and see the greed that exists in America and the overindulgence that is in America, and we see that we are in the talking about we're going to make America great again, and we're going to do what's in the best interest of America. How do you feel that plays to someone who is trying to be not biased, and we look at the people that are grieving around the world and who are not eating three meals a day, who can't find work, and we're trying to throw people out of a country that has the ability for everyone to work if they really want a job. How do you think that plays to somebody who is trying to be honest about the situation?
Well, we would hope that the person would look at the individual, and that's not always the case, and that's not very easily done. Because when you think of the United States, again, certain images come to mind, and some of them are just as you described. So when you meet someone from America, you somewhat align them up with those images or thoughts that you thought about. But just as in everyday life, like I mentioned before, we have to take individuals for who they are and what their beliefs are and what their behaviors are. The good thing about it is, no matter what, good always conquers. And That's not very easy for a person who come from a third world country where they're struggling and really just some things that we take for granted that they would just think as a luxury. But it goes to the heart of a person. We have to just always go to the heart of a person, the intent of a person, and each individual. Learn a person for whom they are, because there are some Republicans that, you know, when if you were really to talk with them, we wouldn't be too far, as a Democrat, you wouldn't be too far off on some things. So, again, it's the individual person, you know. It's just like Catholics and Baptists. You know, you talk about certain things that, you know, their beliefs are that they're instilled in, but when you get to talking to the person in the individual, you have a lot of things that's in common.
It's so true. It's, you know, it's, I don't have any problem whatsoever with individual desires to use their talents in the greatest means possible and to rise up as far as they can. I love that about America. But at the same time, I think when you are in a position to take advantage of a system that will allow you to gain as much money and take advantage of his, all his opportunity, that there should be some empathy and passion that goes along with other countries that may not have that same opportunity. And that we have to be willing to give back to the world as a whole for the opportunity we have to experience these luxuries that we have at our hand. And so I just think we need to be real careful about how we go around beating our chest, and that we don't look like bullies to the rest of the world as a result of our behavior. I want to thank everybody for their support of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection. And I want you to know that Saturday and Sunday we'll be here at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and we'll be here ready and prepared to talk about the issues that impact our world today and in the future. You want to make sure that you take advantage of this platform to make sure that your voice is heard loud and clear. Remember, dial in to 657-383-0309 in order to be a part of a show that gives you an opportunity to speak your piece. This is James T. DeShay, and I'll be back with you tomorrow at 8 p.m. Eastern Time.